Father, thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're with us, and just ask you, Lord, to empower us, Lord, with your power, your Holy Spirit in us to understand, Father, what you have for us this morning. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you can open your Bibles in Exodus chapter 2, we're going to see how God calls us sometimes in the ministry or in His plan that He has for our lives, and not as a missionary or anything like that, but just the path that He has for us in our Christian life. So we're going to see how He called a few people in the Bible, like Moses, like Joshua, like Peter. So let's see in actually the life of Moses, especially in chapter 2, verse 11. It says, "Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown." That means that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. When he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. So we can tell by this passage that he already understood who he was at that time. If you understand the beginning of his life, he was like this son of the daughter of Pharaoh. So he was up there. He was a prince. But in here, the Bible says that he went out to his brethren and looked at the burden. So he understood what was going on. So now, when Pharaoh, in verse 11, when Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by the well. Now, if we go by chapter 3, we see that Moses married the daughter of Jethro. So Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. Now, and here's the important thing of Moses' calling. Now, he understood that it was a God. Now we're going, it says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire, from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed." So Moses said, "I will now turn outside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn." Here's the key word here. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called him. Now imagine if Moses wouldn't have turned. You see what I'm saying? But Moses made that action to look. It says when the Lord saw that Moses, that he turned aside to look, God called him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Well, it says, then he said, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy." So you can see that the angel of the Lord, that's the pre-incarnated Jesus Christ. That's who he was talking to him. Now, we can be called into a ministry. We can be called into a church. We can be called into God's plan in our lives. Every single one of us have at least one gift. And we're supposed to exercise that gift toward the brethren. So, but sometimes we have that gift and we don't want to exercise it, you know, like it's for myself only. It's not God's plan for our lives. God sees that Moses has that gift of leadership. You see what I'm saying? And he's going to utilize Moses at this point in his life. Moses doesn't see it. The only thing Moses has now is fear. So he goes and hides. Moses was 40 years old. He spends another 40 years in the desert. Why? Because God knew he was going to use him. And his experience in the desert to take the people of God through the desert. We don't see it sometimes. Sometimes we try to avoid suffering. We try to avoid pain. But through that pain, God is going to shape us and mold us to go through it and come much better than we thought we were going to be. But also God uses people. You see what I'm saying? So the Israel, like in Romans 12, Israel was chosen for that. Israel decided not to use, you know, not to be the light of the world. And now God says, "Okay, I'll give it to the Gentiles." So as individuals, we do the same thing sometimes. We just say, "No, Lord, it's not for me. It's not my cup of tea. I'd rather stay here doing my own little thing. I'm not going to do anything. I like the way I am." We like our comfort. God says, "I got greater things for you." I truly believe that we're going to go to heaven, and God says, this was for you, but you decided to do this, and you were not going to get this much. But this was for you. You were prepared for that. I prepared you for that. But God didn't just possess our will, our free will. He respected our free will. Just like He respected Moses' free will right here. And He says, when God saw that, He looked at it, and then He said, so, to just so fast forward, you can see Moses' excuse. We can have our excuses all the time. We can say, Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose that they say, the Lord has not appeared to you. We also see in chapter 4, verse 10, again, then Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, nor I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And verse 13, but he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. In other words, what he was saying, send somebody else. I'm not prepared for that journey. I don't want to go. Send somebody else. There's somebody else better than I am. There's somebody else that can speak better than I can. Send them. I don't want to go. Well, the Lord was a little angry with him because he had prepared Moses, who more than anybody else knows about who he has prepared by God. Paul says, he knew me from my mother's womb. Jeremiah said the same thing as well. God, he just prepares us in a lovely way. He prepares us so special for His plan. And when we reject Him, He doesn't like that. So He didn't like Moses the way Moses responded. We can see how Moses actually learned to love God. Moses had all the excuses. We can have all the excuses. But at the end, if you remember, Moses took all these people out of Egypt. Moses was the one that told God, Lord, don't kill all these people. God told Moses, depart from these people. Depart from this generation. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to destroy them all. And I'm going to make something out of you. And Moses says, no, Lord, what are the enemies going to say? What are the Egyptians going to say? That you took them to the desert to kill them? And God changed his mind by one person. Moses. Think about that. God, that's how special we are before His sight. And just like the king, He gave him 15 more years because he prayed humbly before the Lord. 15 more years. Moses, God was going to destroy another time. And he told his brother Aaron, go and bring the incense. Go to the holy place and present it because God's wrath is coming. And 250 people had died at that time. I forgot the numbers, but it was so many people that had died. So the plague is coming and God wasn't going to stop. Aaron had to make an offering for all those people. And God stopped. But you see how God works to people. Now, you read about Moses in Exodus 33. God spoke to Moses. In verse 33, verse 11, it says, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. As a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp, he says, but his servant, there's another one. Every time that Moses went to speak with God, his face was like translucent. All that, the glory of God reflecting in his face. He was coming back, but the people were afraid. He had to cover his face. Just a holy God is. And he spoke with him, just as a friend, just put his shoulders talking to Moses. That word, face to face, is actually in Greek or the Hebrew, is almost like it's face to face or alongside by. That's what it means. In the Greek, it's pros to pros. It's alongside Moses. That's the same way he was walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. The same way. Just like a friend talks to his friend. That's how Moses spoke to God. But the most important part here, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he will return to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. There's another person in this Bible, Joshua. Had a different call than Moses. Joshua was, so to say, in church. You see what I'm saying? Like when I was a kid, as soon as my mom was able to take me to church, I did. So I think it's like 2 or 3 weeks after I was born, I was in church. So the same thing with Joshua. Joshua saw what God has done. Some of us become a believer late in our lives or, 20, 30 years or something. But Joshua saw everything from the beginning. He saw how God spoke to Moses. And he says, this guy has a good thing. And he stayed there. He wouldn't depart from the tabernacle. He just couldn't get enough of this. And this wasn't written then, but this. The Rhema of God. He just couldn't get enough. He was just there. And when time came, God told Joshua, now my servant Moses has died. So if you go to Joshua chapter 1, you're going to see how God speaks to Joshua. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all of these people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And it's the promise. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. And at the end, he says, verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all your days of your life. Now, think about that promise. No man shall be able to stand before you. They're going to go to some rugged territories. And he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. He tells us the same promise today. He will not leave us or forsake us. We are his children. So we go from Moses, he had excuses to the calling. Joshua, he didn't say, no, Lord, I'm not ready for that. Joshua and Caleb were the only two people that enter from all of the others. Two. Joshua and Caleb. And they conquered more than anybody else. He's a mighty warrior. And then we go to John 21. Now God told Peter to become fishers of men. That's he do. After the crucifixion, everybody goes their own way. And that morning, this is what Peter does. In verse 21, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. And as you can see in verse 2, Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two others of his disciples were together. So all these people were together. And Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we're going with you also. So they went out immediately, got in the boat, and that night they caught nothing. And now Jesus comes into the picture. So that suggests, hey, did you guys catch anything? Now, Peter is a professional fisherman. He's a commercial fisherman. He just doesn't go to the place in lagoon or something catching some fish. No, he was a commercial fisherman. That's what he did for a living. And didn't catch a thing. And Jesus says, throw your net on the other side. Now, he was out here all night. You want me to throw it on? I've done that already. So he does. And they catch all this fish. But look at this. Then Jesus said to them, children, do you have any food? And they answered, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. He told them that he's going to find some. So that's what they did. So, you go in verse 11. It says, so they caught all that fish, right? So now in 11, Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. That's specific. Large fish. You're not talking about tiny little fish. Large fish. That they couldn't lift it up in the boat. And when Peter saw Jesus, he jumped in the water almost naked. Because he only had his inner garment with him. We don't know what that is, you know what I'm saying? But he jumped in and he dragged the net to the shore. And look who prepares breakfast. So Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. You know what I'm saying? Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, likewise the fish. I'm reminded what they did at the Last Supper. Peter, he sets Peter on the side. So remember, Peter went fishing. His ministry was done. He says, you know what? Heck with this. The kingdom is not coming. I'm not doing anything like that. They killed Jesus. We're done. you're not going to destroy the Romans. This was just a good, you know, we wrote the 3 years that we had with Jesus. Now it's done. It was a good time together. He goes fishing. Jesus pulls him aside. When they have eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Now that's, in the English you don't see this. You have to go to the original to see what this actually means. Peter, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? Do you love me? He's using the word agape from the Greek word agape. So what he's saying is agapeo me. That's why, do you love me? But this is the agape love that God has. This is not just the love that we know. So in other words, he said, do you love me more than this? He's talking about this. He's talking about the fish. Because that's in the neuter in the Greek. And it's plural. And it's a masculine neuter. He's talking about those fish. He's not talking about the other disciples. That's the beauty that you can see in the language. And he says, do you love me? Agapao me. Okay? So he's using, do you love me? Mm-hmm. Now Peter responds and he says, yes, Lord, you know that I phileo you. See the difference? God wanted to love him. He says, do you love me with agape love? And Peter responds, I phileo you. Phileo, that's how we get the word Philadelphia. It's like the brotherly love. Yes, I don't love you. It's just more like it's a very lesson. It's like what we do for family. Christ asked him again the second time, Peter, do you love me? Do you agapeo me? And Peter answered again, yes, Lord, I phileo you. Peter didn't understand. He knew that the Lord was there, but he didn't really get it yet. The third time the Lord asked him, then he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, grieved means that he was annoyed. Now, he was kind of irritated. He was like, he asked me 3 times already. But at this time, Jesus said, do you phileo me? That's what Jesus said. He didn't say agapeo me. And this time Jesus asked him, do you phileo me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So at this point, Jesus goes to Peter's level. He's no longer agapao me, now he said phileo me. The same word that Peter was using. Because if Peter would have said, yes, Lord, I agapeo you, Jesus would have said, how come you haven't done what I have asked you to do? See what I'm saying? At this point, Peter was saying he understood God's omniscience, Jesus Christ. He knew that Jesus knew that he knows all things. At this point in his life, he truly understood then who Christ is, the God-man. It is God's intention for us that we understand that his love is agape. It's not phileo. In the foundation of God's throne, you're going to see justice. You're going to see love. You're going to see righteous. You're going to see just. That's the foundation, Psalm says, of God's throne. So, God sits on the throne. And the universe is only part. His throne is vast. The earth, that's where he puts his foot. God is big. He's everywhere. He sees everything. But his love overrides man's sinfulness. But his justice demands that somebody has to pay. Somebody has to pay. And that he did. He knew that we couldn't do it. So somebody has to pay. So his love overrides our sins. But his justice, somebody has to pay for that. And it was covered all from the Old Testament with the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. The right Lamb came now and died for us. So now in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's love is there. God's justice was transferred into the body of Christ, that perfect body. God's righteousness was placed into the body of Christ. God's justice was satisfied. Now, as we believe in Christ, the same love that God has is transferred to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we believe in him, it's transferred to us.
and we are asked to love the brethren with agape love, not phileo. Not phileo. That's why John, even he kind of questions the believers that don't have the agape love towards the brethren. The question says, are you guys believers? Because if you are, the love that God has given to us, we're supposed to share it with others. Not phileo, agape. It's not based on our circumstances. It's based on who and what God is. My. I can't do it. That's why we have to be filled with the Spirit at all times. When we are not, we're practicing phileo. But when we are, we're practicing agape. There's nothing mankind can do to me to make me upset if I'm filled with the Spirit. It's nothing. Because I know that God is much bigger than my circumstances. And my happiness is based on who God is, not my circumstances. God can do this to my circumstances. God is much greater. So sometimes in a call, it may look so big, you know, but God designed you. He made us in His image. Special. Each one of us are special. We are not the same. Your blessing is not my blessing. His blessing is not my blessing. Each one of us have a specific blessing, and it's up to us to just accept the calling. Practice it for the glory of God. That's what He wants for us. So I just want to encourage us. So whatever He's calling us to do, whatever He's asking us to do, and to just to expand His work on this earth, we may do it in a way that we are honoring Him in that area. Because His blessings comes every day. But are we choosing the right ones for us the way He planned it? Or are we just getting the leftovers, basically? His idea is not to get the leftovers. Even the leftovers are still good. But He wants us to get the real thing. So I just hope that we encourage each other to walk that way, the way He wants us to walk. Amen?
If you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you would like to go to heaven when you die, and know without any question in your mind, based in the Word of God, He gave it to you as a gift. So simply thank Him for that gift. Pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for dying on the cross for me. I accept Your gift. I accept Your mercy. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.